Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Analytics Neat. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. For those of you that might be new here, Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast. It comes out every Monday. I tend to cover media, marketing, analytics, technology, and data, and I do it in a short format to try to make it something easy for you to digest and then move on with your day. I also love interacting with all of you, so you can reach out to me directly on Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat. You can also give the podcast a follow, at AnalyticsNeat on Twitter as well. So if you have any ideas, topics, questions, concerns, hit me up, and I'd love to chat. And whether you're an avid listener of the podcast or you're new here and you like what you happen to be hearing, then please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you prefer. If I'm not on a platform that you prefer to listen to, let me know and we'll try to figure that one out too. So I hope everybody is still staying safe and staying home and adhering to the guidelines in your local state or country. And I know there's a lot of people right now that are being hit hard, families being hit hard, looking for new jobs, or unfortunately being furloughed or fired. Let me know if I can help at all. I'm happy to lead introductions, and hopefully everyone stays home so we can move beyond this thing more efficiently and get to the point where we can get back on the upswing. But seriously, if you need any help at all, you need any introductions, please feel free to reach out to me. And I know there's a lot of negative energy out there, a lot of stories, but I did want to share a feel-good story as well. Mackenzie runs the OBGYN residency program at the University of Illinois at Chicago, UIC. And she was arranging some Zoom networking, just like everybody else, with all the various residents that are on the front line. There was some cookie-making thing that Frontier, a bar restaurant here in Chicago, offers. I love Frontier. It's where you can actually go and you can order an entire exotic animal of some kind and bring 13 of your closest friends or more and enjoy a really nice meal. They always have some, you know, various game meats and things like that. So it's not very vegan friendly, to say the least. But if you're into those sorts of things and exotic meals, it's very, very cool place to go. But I digress a bit. At any rate, she ordered all of these cookies. And when Frontier found out that they were a residency program with people on the front lines, they wanted to help out. So they actually threw in 30 individual lunches for free for Mackenzie to bring to the hospital for her residents and various nurses and doctors on the front lines right now. I mean, those are the real heroes at the moment. I thought that was an amazing story. You see a lot of that these days, a lot of people helping people. Yeah, I know we are seeing some of the worst in some people, but if you look around, it's a pretty cool sense of community, and I think that's a good thing in today's day and age. In other good news, I mean, if you're a puzzle maker, Ravensburger or folks like that, I mean, this has got to be your Super Bowl. I have never seen shelves this empty, and the fact that it takes 3 to 4 weeks to even order a puzzle and have it arrive at your home is incredible. So big ups to the puzzle industry. Yeah, they didn't know that they were just one pandemic away from selling out of everything that they've produced and stockpiled over the last few years, but good on them. And finally, a bit late on the production this week. I apologize for that, but many of you who know me probably know why that is. And it's because it was WrestleMania weekend this past weekend. Two nights, folks. An event too big for one night. Now, this was all pre-recorded, unlike other previous WrestleManias. That was not done in a stadium with fans, obviously. So very, very different from the large stadium, large fan base feel. I actually kind of liked it. But big shout out to Zoom for bringing all of my WrestleMania buddies together, the folks that I've traveled to WrestleMania events with and other wrestling events. And, you know, we all watched it together on Saturday and Sunday while enjoying a few beverages over Zoom. And, what a great way to do that, to try to at least, you know, get us all together in one place to enjoy what typically is one of our favorite weekends of the year. And I suppose, speaking of Zoom, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the issue that they've come across. So obviously, platforms like Zoom, the mobile app House Party, and others have become sort of common household names to bring families together for those that are adhering to the social distancing and stay-at-home orders. But apparently, there are a ton of trolling accounts happening that are stealing and sharing passwords, jumping into meetings, being able to hack into meetings. And it all sort of highlights the fact that, according to the CEO of Zoom, that they really messed up on platform security. So they are building an end-to-end encryption option that'll be available in the next few months. There's been a ton of articles in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, so on and so forth. But I guess this is why we can't have nice things, huh? Good on him, though, for owning up to it. I thought it was a very honest assessment of the platform. You know, it's just a shame that this happened when Zoom has become one of the most popular platforms due to the pandemic.
I'm going to continue to use it because, frankly, I'm not doing anything in Zoom that I'm worried about. But from that perspective, it is good that they're looking to build an end-to-end encryption option. They should have done that sooner. Anytime you're doing anything to link people together in their homes, there should be encryption. I just think it points to the fact that security needs to be top of mind for everything, because if it's not secure, someone will find a way to mess with it, because every party has a pooper, right? And I guess here's another thing, just something that I've seen that's generated some laughable results. Be careful with those private chats in a Zoom meeting, you know, similar to like a WebEx when you can just chat privately to one individual instead of the group. They do seem to get published after the meeting to everyone, from what I can tell. So just be aware of what you're putting into your chat window. You know, if you're doing a meeting with your boss and you're chatting about your boss in a private meeting, that might not end well. And finally, one more topic for this week's undercard that I wanted to get into was yet another breach. Marriott, you're on the list again. This is just a bad set of events. I mean, Marriott's been in the breach news previously. They've already been under scrutiny and they've been, you know, levied potential fines already for some of those breaches. You had Starwood, you know, who's obviously merged with Marriott. You know, they had a similar issue as well. And this past Tuesday, Marriott apparently discovered in late February that there was a breach of an unspecified property system at a franchise hotel. So hackers apparently somehow obtained system logins of two employees, and they broke in for a few weeks during mid-January. So they don't believe any payment data was stolen, but you know, we're jury's out on that. You just never really know. But names, addresses, phone numbers, loyalty member data, dates of birth, other travel information like loyalty numbers, room preferences. So everything that would be in your profile, it sounds like, were taken in the breach. That's why I find it hard to believe that maybe payment data was not compromised, because that's where you store your payment data as well, as in that same profile. And everything else that's listed, you know, including your travel preferences, do you like extra pillows, high floors, near the elevators, so on and so forth, all show up in there. So maybe they got lucky, but either way, the impact of this was 5.2 million guests. And that's just what they're disclosing. You never really know until it goes under a full forensic analysis. But either way, I guess it's good that Marriott, they got in front of it. They talked about it. They made it public. I haven't seen any communication, so I'm hoping that means that I'm in the clear. But as in any situation when this happens, folks, you should immediately go change your logins, go change your passwords. I know it's a pain. You'll have to rewrite it on your napkin or post-it note or wherever you keep them, if you're anything like my parents or others. But definitely go change your password. Don't wait to hear from them, just to be safe, and go from there. So with that, we'll wrap up the undercard and we'll jump into today's main event. Now, as I get into today's main event, I want to give kudos where kudos is earned. And as many know, the Adobe Summit was canceled and switched to digital, just like almost every other event. Like every other event that's been supposed to happen over the last month and a half. And they did a phenomenal job digitizing this. So I logged in last week. I watched, you know, several of the sessions in my evenings just to check them out. Thought everybody did a fantastic job. Lots of great presenters, lots of great content. One very good way to bring a lot of this to the masses and still make it easily accessible for people to watch is if they had been there to pick and choose their sessions. I think some organizations are struggling with that, sort of digitizing their events. And I thought Adobe did a phenomenal job with that. So I do want to tip my hat to them in doing that and hope that a lot of other vendors find ways to mimic that, right? I think it's important to not reinvent the wheel. Look at what other companies are doing to digitize their conferences and follow that same formula. But with that being said, I knew something had to have been announced. There's always a futures presentation at Adobe Summit, but the reason I knew is because all of the fanboys and girls of Adobe reached out to me. Well, not all of them, but several, being like, hey, did you see this? Adobe eliminates tagging forever, blah, 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 all these other great things. And you know that that's the marketing message, right? So I refused to respond. I said, you know what, let me look into this over the weekend before I give my thoughts on the podcast. Also, you know, drive some listenership to the podcast, maybe convert some new needers. And I know I'm a bit hard on tagging-based solutions, but I am because, you know, frankly, I used to make a lot of money off of Adobe because of its complexity. So I'm coming at this from a perspective of a converted person, I suppose, from a mindset perspective, because data layers, the complexity of those, the complexity of tagging, all led to really good consulting dollars from a building strategist selling it to Ubiquity and running it at Ubiquity prior to departing. It just is the nature of the business. The more complex the solution, the more money you make on it as a strategic consultant. You know, just go look at the Deloittes of the world and you know, they've done the same thing for years and years. So in the messages that I had from people, they were like, AlloyJS, AlloyJS. And at first I was kind of struck because that's been in GitHub for a while as a conceptual thing. So it wasn't necessarily a new announcement. But what is AlloyJS? So during the Adobe Summit, it was announced with a title that said, never tag for EVARs and MBoxes ever again. Welcome AlloyJS. And it's been on GitHub, as I mentioned before, and it all kind of goes with the experience data model, or XDM, that Adobe has been talking about for some time. Frankly, as Adobe has been built on this, it's been an acquisition-based mode, right? So they've acquired several technologies going all the way back to about 2004, when they acquired Offermatica as Omniture back then, which then became what's now, you know, Adobe Target, or portions of it anyways. And so you have all of these disparate technologies sitting all over the place, and Adobe has not had a clean way to get data that's being captured from tags to all of those systems. So you end up having a tag for analytics, a tag for Adobe Target, you know, experience manager, so on and so forth. And so you have all these different tags to manage, and then those all go to the respective platforms. And then you had some archaic connections from things like analytics downstream to Target, so on and so forth. And so they've been building this experience data model, or XDM, which is an Adobe, you know, proprietary approach. They make it available, but honestly, like, you're not going to get vendors adopting that in a very easy way. I mean, that's just a crazy way to think about it, because it's an Adobe data model. They're trying to speed up the process within their different touch points and their different technologies, right? And so what does AlloyJS do? Well, it basically goes from name value pairs that are created in a universal tag, if you will, within Launch, their tag management solution, and it goes to an edge network within Adobe. And then that edge network then parses out the data from a mapping perspective within Launch to the various applications. All of this hinges upon Adobe Launch. So you're probably sitting here going, oh, that's why they decided to try to make that free and give that out to everybody. Of course, Adobe would not give things away if there wasn't a reason behind it. They need to quickly try to get clients to adopt this name value pair approach to data mapping through Launch in order for this to work. And they also make mention in the presentations, and I'm just going to call out some things to just bring some people back to reality. You know, one, I'm going to give kudos where it's deserved. It has taken them way too long to do this, but good on them for coming up with a way to use sort of one data approach to try to get data to all of their various applications. But I want to be clear what this is. They do mention in the presentation that if, and it's a small comment, right, but it's the small ones you got to pay attention to. It's like the asterisks and the small print, that they have a way that they want you to structure these name value pairs. And if you structure it in their expected way, then they can do some automatic mapping to analytics, to Target, so on and so forth. They mention that if you don't, then you'll need to do the mapping yourself, all within Launch. And so you manage that within Launch. It's something called edge configuration to do the mapping, to set up the, you know, the edge mapping to then identify the different technologies and to transfer the name value pairs. And they claim that it includes, that it improves in performance, speeds up the performance. But what they don't talk about is data availability. A lot of the performance is around, well, the code is minified, the, you know, it's 70% less code and so on and so forth. And that's great, because that's a no-brainer if you're taking seven tags and you're bringing it down to one that basically, in essence, you're setting name value pairs in using a data layer within a tag management solution. Well, of course, the code is going to be significantly lighter. You're doing a heck of a lot less with it. You're just passing it off to the server, you know, on the Adobe side to then parse that information along. They also claim that privacy is built in. And I'm going to question what that actually means. They also mentioned that a lot of technologies are unable to do this. Sure, from a tag-based solution perspective, but there's a lot of better options when it comes to privacy. And that's just something to keep in mind. But I'm curious what privacy built-in means at an individual level, because they do claim that it's a first-party ID, but it's still set with JavaScript, so it's still an issue. They say that they're bringing server-to-server API management, but that's not something that's available. This product itself is still in alpha status, with only, I think they say a dozen clients are using it. So there's a long way to go before this is production ready. And it's still dependent upon a data layer as well, which I think is something that people are passing up on. You're looking at this for the value, but you're not necessarily looking at what this might mean from an implementation perspective. Because now you're, instead of just creating evar equals in your JavaScript code for simplicity purposes, you're building name value pairs that eventually get mapped to an evar. So now you're going to need to build name value pairs in the right structure using Alloy.js, and then you're going to build within launch using data layers and otherwise ways to populate that and map that to go to various technologies. And processing rules, as mentioned by Adobe in the video, are still needed for the mapping. So that's going to increase the time. So while they say that it's faster performance from a code-based perspective, data availability is still going to be a struggle, particularly when you're looking to get data out of Adobe into other systems. It's really just shifting the complexity. And again, it's great that they've done this to try to simplify customers who are all in on the Adobe stack. You know, name value pairs can be sent outside of Adobe, they mentioned. But naturally, this one just isn't going to be a huge focus for Adobe. It's not even a huge focus in the initial launch. But basically, their stance is when you send these name value pairs to an edge network or to their edge network, you can then go from the edge network, export that out in name value pair format to other technologies. Now, the problem is, and this is the kicker with the data model that I mentioned before, if your other third-party vendors outside of the Adobe world are not using the experience data model, which they won't be, those name value pairs aren't going to mean anything. So then you're going to have to then transform that into a structure that makes sense for those technologies downstream outside of Adobe to make use of. So the data management that you're still doing today when you're getting that raw data out of Adobe is also still going to exist. It's just going to look different. In many ways, a lot of these changes are simply shifting the complexity of what you're used to doing into the server-side component instead. But there's still quite a bit of heavy lifting. So I thought it was important to kind of take a look at that. I give kudos where it's due that they finally have started to consolidate the technology. But long story short, it's still tagging. And at least they did consolidate the platforms that they purchased over the years. But I think now the trick will be getting clients live on it. But even before that, it'll be getting this into a production capacity where it can be vetted and actually proven to work in the right ways. And some of the features themselves, as I mentioned, are not available just yet, so that's going to limit things. But it's a step in the right direction for Adobe, but I don't think for a second that this just automatically eliminates the pains of tagging, because it doesn't. It just shifts a lot of that responsibility. It also doesn't solve for connecting outside of the Adobe stack if you care about more than just digital optimization. If you're just using Experience Manager and Target and all you care about is your website, or you know, from that regard, then sure, that works. But if you're trying to build a cross-channel experience, you know, with enterprise-ready data, you're going to run into issues there. And the data layer is not going away either. Launch, just like Tealium and other tag management solutions, rely heavily on data layers to make those things work. And that's going to be the backbone of many of these name value pairs in the first place. So there's a lot that you have to build within. Is it more flexible? Sure. Does it offer the ability to collect once and use many within the Adobe stack? Absolutely, although it's going to take time to convert your implementation to that. You're not just going to rip out the existing tags today and start with the new one tomorrow. And you know, I think from that perspective, it just helps to flavor this and sprinkle it a bit with a little bit of honesty and realism to what this really is. This is not something that's solving for all of the pain that exists from a data capture perspective, but it is going a long way to, for those that have gone all in and have joined the cult, so to speak, from an Adobe perspective, it makes it a little bit easier to manage the tagging, I suppose, although the same challenges exist today. But I'd welcome your thoughts on that, and feel free to reach out to me directly. But with that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Thank you again so much for listening. Be safe, stay home, hope you and yours are healthy, and we'll be back again next week with another new episode. And until then, I hope you have a great rest of your week.